Mark chapter 10.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come this morning and worship you. We thank you for everyone who's here today. We pray that you'd be with all of those who are in school and spending all their time on school, that you give them the grace to deal with the professors and the change in teachers and the different people who they have to encounter at school. We thank you for the praises we heard today about getting closer to some testing being completed and about getting a car and that good grades are being achieved. I pray that you would help all of that to continue, Lord. Help us this morning to learn what you want us to learn about economics. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, we're out of school for
that's what I was going to say. You guys left school and you made it through Saturday and you came to church and now you're in econ. But it's not econ 101 and it's not econ 200. This is economics Bible style. Or you could call it economics with a Bible translation. So tell me, what's economics?
One on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand. In
what?
There's a serious disconnect here. Jesus just got done telling
what? People's choices?
Yeah, the study of people's choices.
He's going to be crucified. And
Jesus is
going to respond. These two respond by saying, Lord,
the exchange of goods and services between people.
Okay, that's a big part of it. What? We'll get there. That's probably part two or three. Yes, there are economic principles. So how many of you feel like you're being watched? Not just because I'm looking out across the room, but how many of you feel like you're being watched? How many of you have ever gone on your computer and gone on, say, Amazon and searched on Spider-Man twin sheet set?
Which we did yesterday.
Which we did yesterday. It's a real life example when you're a three-year-old. And then you go on Facebook, and what's the ad on the side? Spider-Man sheets. And then you go to the news website, and what's the ad up at the top across the banner? Spider-Man sheets. Guess what? Somebody was watching what you were shopping for. And they have decided, are you ready for this? What you want next, even if you don't know yourself. If I'm trying to fix something on the car, and I'll go and do a search, and I'll look up how to do a wheel bearing hub assembly, I'll go on a different website, even on a different day, and I'll get brake parts. Why would they ever? Oh, they're advertising brake parts because to get to the wheel bearing hub assembly, I got to take the brake parts off. And I mean, with brakes, it's a wear and tear item. So why wouldn't you just buy all new brake parts to put back on, right? I mean, that just makes sense. Since I'm going to be taking apart my car, they want to sell me new stuff to put on it. Economics, the trade of goods or services between people. What's God's economic structure?
So not only did they not get it,
how much did God spend to route the Mississippi River through the country out to the ocean? Well, how much did it cost him to divide the continents into continents and have oceans in between them? Well, what did he pay to fill the lakes, the Great Lakes? How much does he get charged for the light bill for Earth? When he spoke Earth into existence, how much money did he spend? Can God be governed by our economics? Not at all. What part of this Earth you're walking on is God's?
They were afraid to ask him. They didn't want to ask what it meant. Tell us more. So
Psalm 24:1.
They're in a state of being
somebody
perplexed.
Help me out. Psalm 24:1.
Set my Bible down. I'll get it out.
What did you say? Yeah.
Psalm 24:1.
Uh-huh.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
Oh, this goes a step further. Not only is the earth God's, but those who live in it are God's. How'd that happen? How come we belong to God? And I don't mean we as just saved people. How come people belong to God? He created them. How much did he spend to do that? When he upgraded Adam to Eve, how much did that cost him?
Cost Adam a bit.
Cost Adam something. How much did it cost God?
Passage here with the sons of Zebedee.
Not a thing.
Saying, you know, granted that we should sit one on the left hand and one on the right.
No economic laws can govern God. Right? Miss Jenny says she's got 2 degrees from the U of A, right? She's done the college thing. I've done the college thing very much, but she's got 2 degrees from the U of A, so she would know. She said there are economic principles in the world. What about different economic philosophies?
Now,
are there different economic philosophies?
I want to move on.
That whole thing we did with the websites and the car parts and the Spider-Man sheets. Why does that happen?
That's marketing.
That's marketing. There is a market, are you ready for this? For Spider-Man sheets. Where did that market come from? Somebody wrote a comic book. Then somebody made a movie. Then some people irresponsibly took their younger than appropriate children to the movie. Those children in turn came home and begged people. Just to be clear, Joel has not seen Spider-Man. He has seen a few minutes of the cartoon once. He mostly just plays with the little toys and he thinks Spider-Man's cool. That's why he's Spider-Man cheats. And that's all that Costco had when I was there getting a blanket for his bed. So, anyway, people liked the comic book and liked the movie, and people were trying to sell sheets for beds, so they made Spider-Man sheets so they could sell more sheets, because the more they sell, the more profit they make, right? There is a market for sheets. You just got a car. There is a market for parts for that car. Because, in part, your car is on the road. I'm not saying your car needs to be repaired, I'm just saying. Because there are cars on the road, there is a market for parts for cars. Cars break. Your dad makes a living off of cars breaking. He's probably very happy cars break. Right? I'm very happy there's people like him who can answer questions for people like me who try feebly to fix cars when cars break. There is a market for his talents. Because there's cars on the road. There are markets for things. How is your money like a vote? The first question on page 17. What? Once you spend it, it's gone, just like a vote. How else is it like a vote? Does it have influence?
What you buy is what you like.
Right? Your Bible says. Bible says. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you vote in an election for a candidate, why do you vote for or against someone? Oftentimes I find myself voting against someone. I have to pick the lesser of two weevils. Right? There's one who's bad for the country and for God's principles. But then there's one who's even worse, if that were possible. So I have to vote against the one who's even worse and hold my nose and vote for the one who's bad. Right? How is your money like a vote? How is where you choose to spend your money like a vote? You're making a choice. We had baby number 5 on the way, just to keep up with the car analogy, because I'm talking about cars today. We needed a vehicle with 3 rows of seats, some cargo room behind it for the stroller and stuff like that. And there are only a few of those. And we've always been a Chevy family. So what did I go look at? How many Expeditions did I drive? I did not take any Ford Expeditions on the road. Not to say they're bad cars. We're just Chevy people. So I looked at the Chevys and the one that's the same as it, the GMCs, and the Lord sent along a GMC that was super cheap. Even after I had the transmission rebuilt, I'm still into that car for way less than it's worth. That's how we ended up with how we ended up. That's how we ended up with what we ended up with. We made a choice. We voted Government Motors. I mean GM.
This might be a little bit of a stretch, but I avoid buying things with a little pink ribbon because that foundation donates money to Planned Parenthood. And I don't want to support Planned Parenthood, so I don't buy things with a little pink ribbon.
So did Mrs. Jenny just say that she's against fighting? Or no, she's against curing, what kind of cancer is that?
Breast cancer.
Are you against curing breast cancer?
I don't think it should be the focus of our lives. More women die from heart attacks than breast cancer.
But are you against curing breast cancer? Is that a bad thing to do?
No.
No, but you won't buy something with the pink ribbon on it because somewhere down the line, some of that money goes to abortions. How is your money like a vote? Just like that.
Ironically, has been shown to increase your chances of getting breast cancer if you have an abortion.
Yes. Yeah. Gee, surgically reaching in and destroying something that's part of your body causes part of your body to revolt against that? That's surprising. Sorry, I thought that was logical. Wrong word.
Anyways, that's way off topic.
That's a little off topic.
But that's how I would say I would vote with my daughters. That's one way. I know that I'm doing this to
bring honor and glory to you. So we homeschool. No surprises here. Some of you were homeschooled. You've been through it. You've seen it. You understand it. What curriculum do you use? Do you use Macmillan? Do you use McGraw-Hill? Why? She's shaking her head vigorously. No.
Crazy.
Humanistic.
They're humanistic. Yeah. They promote abortion. They modify history. They promote evolution. They all kinds of things. We spend, now, compared to what it would cost to have children in school, and for clarity, we're not complaining, but we spend lots of money on homeschool stuff. But all of the dollars we spend on homeschool stuff is focused towards, are you ready for this? Exploring through creation through astronomy. Exploring creation through physical science. Right? The Apologia, is that the publisher? Apologetics? Apologia? See a theme here? Right? So when we dive in and we spend our dollars, we're voting for something. What are we voting for? I bet you, with all this data mining they do and how they watch things and this and that, we'd get flagged as the domestic terrorist right wing crazies. Because everything we spend on is Bible related. And everybody knows those right wingers, they're crazy and they're dangerous, right? I am the most likely person at my work to fly off the handle and go commit a violent crime. Because I read the Bible. Those people are right wing crazies, right? Your money is a vote. Unfortunately, people will take that and try to use that against you in some cases. Now, I have not been in any way persecuted because I spend my money on Apologia curriculum instead of McGraw-Hill, right? That's never happened. I'm not saying it has happened. I'm not saying it will in my lifetime. There probably will be a day when having Bible-promoting materials is against the law. I promise you, at that same day, having Quran-promoting materials will not be against the law. having Buddhist promoting materials will not be against the law. Why is that? Why would they pick only one, are you ready for this, religion and ban that?
Because ours is the only one that has absolute truth.
It's deeper than that. It's simpler than that, but it's deeper than that.
He stands up at this point.
Why?
And we're looking toward the posters, and there's the manager from our quality department.
Just, I want them to think. Even if they don't move their mouths, I want them to think about it a minute. Because if they think about it first...
They're more afraid of offending those other people than us, because we... Those most likely won't retaliate.
It's simpler than that. Yes, there is some fear involved. When's the last time the Christian terrorists bombed something?
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't happen often, if at all.
There have been like bombings of abortion yes. clinics, but I wouldn't necessarily think that was true Christians who did that.
It's simpler than all of this. There are two forces battling for control. One is God. Everything else is anti-God. Led by the devil. Right? If people have it built into them to search for God and worship God and have, are you ready for this, religion, then telling them they can't have religion goes against how they're made. And it doesn't work out well.
It is what it is.
However,
just ignore it.
Offering them a religion that has some parallels to the truth, if you will, but can pull them away from God at the same time, would be way more effective than telling them they're not allowed to have religion. Right? So when it comes down to it, the forces in the world we live in are only out to ban the truth, like she said. They are not out to ban all the things that could lead you away from the truth, which Buddhism can do, Shintoism can do, Muslims can do, all of them. Catholicism can lead you away from the truth. They've got so much of it right, just not the important part. Your money is like a vote. Especially in the Catholic Church, where you can go do whatever you want and then put some money in the plate and get absolved for it. Okay? We still have 20 minutes. This is great. Alright. Let's look at page 18. Someone read me the first paragraph under searching the scriptures.
Remember, we were talking about doing something about that.
Well, you read a second ago. Someone else can read. I know it. They're all college students in here.
Basis for evaluating economies. The Bible provides a solid basis for evaluating the major economic systems. For example, a communist belief changing man's environment to a utopian state will cause him to be a new man willing to work for the good of society. The Christian understands that changing a person's environment will make him a better person. Same effects can in negative ways no matter their environment. Based on this truth, the Christian knows communism could never work.
Okay. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. We're going to do some more reading. Who can read 9 through 13?
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips.
Okay, who else can read? Go ahead, me. Read four more verses. Read through 19.
Pardon?
Read through 19. 14 through 19.
Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may not may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Shane finishes out 20 through 23.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
He was the one who, if you could align the ball,
so the book said, the communists believe that if you make the society utopian, that will make everyone want to do a good job and work hard. Right? Versus the Christians understand that changing a person's environment won't make him a better person. If I find a piece of cheese, grated cheese. We just found this in our fridge. We had a bag of grated cheese since there was some dark green mold growing on it.
Yeah.
Right? And I've got at home a crock pot full of potatoes and broth and onions and all this stuff, and it's cooking. And we get home, it's going to be all soft. And we're going to mush it up, and we're going to add some cheese to it, and we're going to have potato cheese soup. It's going to be great.
Building the background.
But if I take the cheese out of that bag with the moldy cheese and I just get a little tiny bit of that mold and I drop that in the pot and stir it in, it's okay because there's only a little bit in there, right? So I changed its environment. I changed the mold from being in a cold bag of cheese to a hot pot of soup. I changed its environment. Is it still gross and dirty? Yeah. Are any of you
going to eat it?
We did. We threw away the bag of cheese that's moldy. I've got a new block of cheese. I'm
congrats.
Yes. But by changing its environment, did I make it less gross and dirty? Did I make it less gross and dirty? Not by changing its environment. I did not. At all. Silly example. Real truth. The Bible in verse 9 of Romans says, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We have before proved. Who's Paul talking to? Christians. He's saying, we've already done it. We've proved we're still sinners. We've tested this theory. We've proved this theory. We know it's false. We put it to the test, and it came up false. We are all still under sin, Jews and Gentiles, everybody. Then it says, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. Moving down to verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Everybody's under sin. Everybody's guilty. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay? This here, when it says the law, is referring to, specifically in this case, the law of Moses that God gave him, that he wrote down, that he gave to the people of Israel, the Jews, for them to live by. Right? We said when we started the lesson on economics, there are laws or principles that govern how economics works. This says, no matter what the laws are, everybody's still a sinner. Whether it's the laws of economics, whether it's the law of gravity, if I walk off a cliff, I'm going to go splat. I'm still going to be a sinner either way. I'll just be a messier one.
I am not yet ascended to my
The laws are the laws. But the environment you put something in does not make it different, and everyone is still a sinner. Does all that make sense? So the flaw, if you will, with communism or with socialism or whatever, the flaw at the core of it is you're depending on changing people's behavior by changing their environment. It's just not going to happen. How do we know this? The Bible says so. How do we know this? It's been proven. The Jews tested it as Christians and proved they were still sinners. What was Paul's reason for writing to some of the churches? To stop them from sinning. The Christians had, to use the Bible term, harlots in the temple. They were using the Christian meeting places to promote promiscuity, to profit from promiscuity. This has been proven. It doesn't work. You can't change people's behavior or who they are at the core by changing their environment. So let's have a back and forth here for a minute. What is a free market economy?
Doors closed, yeah, shut.
Start with the first word, free. What is a free thing? Not free as in it doesn't cost you anything, but free as in what?
No restrictions.
No restrictions from who?
Then Jesus appears to them.
From
the government. A free market economy would be an economy in which the government gets out of the way and allows trade and commerce and the exchange of goods, as you said earlier, and services to happen. Do we have a free market economy anymore?
Not in that strict of a definition, no.
Not in that strict of a definition. Compared to most of the rest of the world? Yes, we do.
Yes.
Does it still work better than many other systems?
Yes,
absolutely it does. But no, the government has not kept themselves out of it. They keep inserting themselves, because what can they do if they insert themselves? If they have control, they can do what?
Charge money.
Tax.
But we ask them to do things too. So it's kind of a catch-22.
You don't want to go on eBay and pay someone. Okay, so this is crazy. When I was trying to figure out the transmission for my truck, I found that you could buy a transmission off of eBay for like $900. And they would ship it to your house for like $99. Hello, person I've never seen. Let me send you $1,000. And let me let you ship a transmission I've never seen and will never see the internals of all the way over here to Tucson. And let me crawl up under my truck and spend 3 days removing the transmission because I don't know how to do it. And stick this one in there and plan on it running correctly for as long as I own the truck. But we want the government to regulate that if that guy takes my $1,000 and ships me a transmission, we want the government to say, if that thing arrives and it's a piece of garbage, I have some recourse. We want the government to say that if he takes my $1,000 and never ships me anything, he can go to jail.
Well, because that would be stealing, and I don't think that's the same thing as regulating trade.
Right.
Because the person you're really relying on to help you with that is the protection you have through PayPal or eBay, which is not a government entity.
Right.
And that's who would get you your money back initially. And it would make them, like, not be a seller.
Before there was all that, though, there was the fear of being prosecuted if you did something wrong. So we want them to help us regulate some pieces of it. The point is, it all starts somewhere, and it usually starts somewhere good. We want them to regulate that piece, but we don't want them to regulate other pieces, like which kinds of fluid I'm allowed to run in my car, or what amount of gas I'm allowed to put in, or that I have to pay an extra tax if I buy a car with more engine than it needs, so that it'll go fast. I have to pay a gas guzzler tax on that.
I was thinking more of how right now there's people trying to, which it's hard because, I mean, I do think these things should not allowed, but it's another point is that it's you're allowing more regulation. There's a lot of push to regulate genetically modified ingredients in food, and not saying you can or can't do it, but labels on things, saying this has this in it, and they want the government to step in and regulate it, which is just going to make the food cost more. So.
Very tricky. So a free market economy is one in which when people have a need and they go looking for it, if they don't find what they need or what they want, someone can whip that up, dream that up, invent it, build it better, reinvent it, whatever, and they can sell it. They can create a market for Spider-Man sheets. When I was growing up, you know what was on my sheets? Nothing. And probably somewhat for you guys too. I mean, you're not like old like I am, but you're not like young like my 3-year-old either.
I have U of A sheets.
You have U of A sheets? It's awesome. There was nothing on our sheets growing up. They were just plain old sheets. There was nothing wrong with that. That was okay. Well, it didn't harm us. But boy, was that 3-year-old excited. We built the bunk beds in his room. We got him the fuzzy Spider-Man blanket because he likes things that are fuzzy. We got him the Spider-Man sheets to match the blanket. We got him a pillow and put it in the Spider-Man pillowcase that came with the sheets. I mean, he was so excited to get his silly bed. It was great. It made it instead of, oh no, I don't get to have my crib anymore, it made it exciting. I'm glad somebody had a market for that, and then it made it available to me. I'm sure Spider-Man sheets used to cost a whole bunch more than they do now.
I would say they cost $4 or $5 more than buying him the cheapest plain sheets from when I was looking.
It's only a little bit more. There's a market for that. So free market economy is where the government doesn't regulate heavily or interfere heavily or put quotas on businesses or things like that, so that they can create what is needed by the people who have the money to spend, right? It allows for competition. Otherwise, that Monte Carlo you bought, if that was the only car on the market and the government regulated it, just like in foreign countries, you end up with something like a Yugo. You know why they call it a Yugo? Because it stays. That's the car they sell in that country. That's the one they sell. The government regulates it. It's government employees that build it. It's government employees that supposedly fix it, but even they don't know how to fix it. That's the kind of garbage you end up with. That's what you end up with. There's entire countries where the road is covered with everybody driving basically the same model of the same car. And the really rich people, they have a 1985 BMW that their grandpa gave them. That's the rich people in those countries, right? And that's a great car compared to what everyone else is driving. This is what not having a free market does. Here, you can buy a Hyundai from Korea, a Toyota or a Honda from Japan, made in America, but, you know, to Japan's standards with Japan's engineering. You could buy a Chevy made by government, I mean by GM employees. You could buy You could buy a Ford, right? He invented most of the car stuff that's out there. Henry Ford. What else is out there? You could buy a Suzuki car. You could buy a Jaguar, a British car. You can buy any number of Japanese cars, a Mercedes, a BMW. They all compete for your dollars. So what does that mean? That means you have choices. That means you have variety.
Also, cheaper prices and better products.
Right. Cheaper prices and better products, because they're competing with each other. If there was no competition for Yugos, then the government could charge whatever it wanted to for a Yugo, and you're stuck paying for it. How many of you seen the fancy new model of the Yugos? Oh, that's right. They've never done that. They've never had to, because no one's competing with them.
That's why I was saying, well, supported by scripture. So yes, the Holy Spirit came.
What now?
That's
okay, you're blessed. You missed nothing. You know why you've never seen a Yugo on the road? Because it stayed. Wherever it was last, it's still there.
We don't really have those here anymore.
Which Yugo is the fastest one on the road?
It's like a little baby.
The one on the tow truck. Sorry. I'm picking on a brand that I don't think is even made anymore or sold in the United States anymore, because I don't want to be seen as, you know, someone who's anti-whatever. But they really were bad cars. I'm a snob.
What can I say? Do you like your car to drive?
I like to get in and put it in gear and have it go. That's what I like. So for our memory verse, let's use...
But sorry,
I can't
we didn't
decide.
Have one last week. We forgot it.
Let's do Romans 3:9.
We saw the Lord. He said, yeah, and he's appeared to Simon.
Seemed like everybody already knew that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So we'll do Romans 3:9 for our memory verse.
Peter was still the
yes.
Is it okay if I add one more prayer request?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. One is from my grandma, because a long time ago, she asked me to move with her. Oh, did I already tell you this?
You mentioned it.
Okay, so I guess I'll ask for it. I haven't really got back to her about it at all, but... I don't know, I just want her to be able to like do what's good for her and her to be safe since she's by herself now. And then
she doesn't live with your aunt.
No, okay, sorry, this is my grandma in Louisiana.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
sorry.
She wants to
that
move
was my
Louisiana.
Dad memory.
Yeah, and then okay. It's weird because, I mean, I have a father, that's his mother, so you think he would like...
Right.
And she's like, he's not going to do it, so can you move with me? Or she's going to sell her home. And it's like a lot of land and stuff. So she's going to sell all that and then go live like assisted living. And I don't know. It's like kind of a lot of pressure on me.
Those are nice, though. Yeah. They get to like do all kinds of activities with their other peers. And
okay.
It's
but she's like not like
a
this.
Horror thing.
It's kind of feisty.
Yeah. When we just go visit, it's like really hard to be there because... It's not like bad to spend time with her, but she's like just kind of like really hard.
Living with someone is definitely more intense.
Yeah. And then another one from her dad. We talked to him this weekend, and it's funny. So I guess it's too much. Is it too much info? I don't know. I don't really care. I guess he spends time like Monday nights flying from Texas to Phoenix to go hang out with. His little group, and we're like, oh, that's really hilarious. Cause,
like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
You.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt me to find out
the apparently,
but it's just,
he tries to contact us.
And, yeah.
You just know it's bogus.
Yeah, and I'm like,
and
not that I'm mad because we're just busy.
Maybe,
but,
I don't know.
Yeah. I just want to pray for him so he can, like, get his life together. That I think he thinks is together. But,
depends on what he's living for. If he's living for worldly things and he has lots of worldly things, then he feels like his life is together.
Yeah.
Well, and then it doesn't cost him hardly anything to do that.
No, it doesn't. He's living
their
life free. Every month.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, hopefully you can get to see him anyway. I mean, I know...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hurt by it, but just put it in prayer.
Well, I would be hurt. I'd be like, what's up with that?
You'll fly all over the place, take me with you.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're grateful for those things, too.
Okay, let's close in prayer. No, that's great. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that we can even learn economics from your word. We can understand how we should do things. I pray that you'd help us to learn more about it, have a better understanding about these things, so that when we shift from economics of the world to economics of our daily lives, we'll understand stewardship and these other concepts even better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.